Earth Podcast with your host, Jake Weaver. Engineered by Cedric Swan.
Hey, everybody, we are back with another episode of Midnights on Earth. I'm your host, Jake Weaver, and we're here to bring you more knowledge, more light, and more love. I am very happy, stoked, excited, all of those positive words to welcome back Evan Burton of the band Indubious, aka Zest. He is here with us. We're going to talk about a powerful development in his life. The future is so bright right now. There's so much going on, and he is a component of this, and he's going to tell us about this in just a second. But first, I need you to do something for me. Follow me on Instagram at midnight_on_earth. That is the address. You can follow me there. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all of the places. Go there, find that button that connects us, click that button so you know when people like Evan Burton come back on to tell us these powerful things. All of the guests, you get that notification instantly to your device. You know exactly what's going on. And of course, tell a friend, tell someone that you know that loves these type of podcasts. You know what's going on here. You know what we're doing here. You know the people that need to know this. Bring them here, midnightonearth.com. Okay, so we're just about to talk to Evan, but first, let's read his bio. Evan Burton, aka Zest of Indubious, is a musician, producer, podcaster, festival producer, and mystic who is best known for being a part of the psychedelic Rootstronica reggae band Indubious, having played keyboards and sung lead vocals with them for nearly 20 years. The story of Indubious has recently gone worldwide with the release of the documentary Mystic Vibrosis, A Guide to Living Indubiously, which highlights the health struggles of the Burton brothers, having been born with cystic fibrosis and having received a double lung transplant in 2011. Recently, Zest has traveled to Africa, where he became an initiated member of the Masoko Bwiti tribe, which has sparked his newfound mission of being a steward of the plant medicine Iboga, which he claims has healed him and changed his life. And by the grace of the divine and all the things that are amazing and awesome, he's here with us today. Hello, Zest!
Hello!
Zest is best! I'm so glad you're here!
I'm so happy to be here, Jake Weaver. I love you, brother.
I love you too, man.
You know, I'm a friend and a supporter of yours, but I'm a fan. I'm a fan of you as a human. I'm a fan of your podcast. I really appreciate the passion and excitement that you have for the goodness in the world, man. We share that same passion.
Yes.
So, you know, we're like stars of positivity colliding here in podcast land.
Look, this is the Starseed mission. This is the love vibration mission. Wherever it shows up for you, maybe you don't identify with the Starseed concept. That's fine. You're aligned with love. That's the mission. That's what we're doing. That's why it's so beautiful. That's why we're excited.
That's right. If you love love, then you're in the club, baby.
That's all you need to be. And yeah. I'm going to say I love everything that you do as well, including your incredible music, which I love so much. And just briefly, before we get into our conversation, I want to play for people the opening track to their latest album, The Bridge. There's The Bridge Remix, which came out after that. But their latest album, The Bridge, we're going to play the opening track. It's called The Calling. You guys ready? Just a little bit of music before we go into the show. So here we go.
This is the calling to the wisest, the strongest, the best and the bringers, the singers. Up 7 billion population consciousness uniting. A major energetic shift as frequencies align. You purify your vessel to evolve your mind. We shall return. Your one time teacher, not two time learn. Original foundation, are we taking back the gold? The remnants that were lost reclaim the ownership of soul. Indigenous and tribal knowledge, spirit that was stole. Your Western mind conflicted at the gift of flesh and bone. Oh, calling, calling, calling. Yes, so we call. Not just for ourselves, but the benefit of all. Your medicine is needed as this Babylon will fall. Make art from your heart, love yourself and stand tall. Remember yourself every time that you stall. You've been here before and you shall arise again. Protector of life, we are building the bridge.
Oh my God, that song gives me chills. Woo! Ah,
well, that song has an interesting story. And I think it's, I don't know if you came up with this idea intellectually or it was more of a vibe you were feeling, but you're playing that song before this podcast, which is meaningful specifically. That song, I believe, is when the Aboga spirit, the spirit of the Aboga medicine, started to make itself very known in our lives. Aboga is a plant medicine from Gabon, Africa, and it's considered the grandfather of all plant medicines. And this plant medicine has really transformed the lives of me and my brother. And so the funny thing about that is that this song was written and recorded by my brother before he ever even went to Africa or did the Aboga medicine. And if you listen to it, it's very distinctly has African beat, you know, has the whole Nyabingi thing going on. It has the jaw harp. It's very African sounding. And so after all this has gone down for us, we go back and listen to the song. We're like, wow, wait a minute. This medicine was already coming through, was already talking to us. And so this is the calling of our lives. The calling is to aid this medicine in healing. Cause you know, we've always known that we are healers through music, but now we truly understand the breadth and scope of how we are healing the world through not only our music, but our words and our own personal healing and our understanding and the things that we share.
It's powerful. That's so powerful. So the Aboga was coming through. Obviously, yes, there are African elements. Again, the Nyabingi beat, so much going on. And so that shows you that these plant spirits exist in the quantum realm. They're outside of time and space.
They're outside of time, exactly.
And they're also, they have the ability to have a very personal relationship with you, which is also, I think, indicative of the divine experience as well. It seems like the entirety of the divine can form a very intimate personal relationship with you in that same way as the Aboga spirit does.
That's right.
So tell me more. Last time we talked about your journey to discovering Aboga.
Yes.
And how you integrated that into your life. Mm-hmm. So since then, what has changed? What has been revealed to you and how did you grow from that?
Sure. So last time we talked, since then, I had planned and executed my trip to go to Africa, to go to Magenda's village in Gabon, Africa. Magenda's village is the home of the Bwiti tribe, of the Masoko Bwiti. That's where Magenda, the 10th generation Bwiti shaman, does his own healing, spiritual healing retreats and initiations and Bwiti ceremonies. So I'm going to give some backstory here for the people. So people who are listening for the very first time, my name is Evan. People call me Zest. I was born with cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is a genetic disorder. It's a life shortening genetic disorder that affects the lungs. My brother and I were both born with cystic fibrosis. And my brother is the one who's in the band with me, in the band Indubious. We are the two front men. And so when we were born, cystic fibrosis was essentially a death sentence. A lot of kids died right off the bat. The doctors told my mom that we would not live past our teenage years. So we did live past our teenage years. and we lived into our 20s. And right around in my 20s is when I started getting really sick. And this was in the middle of our music really exploding onto the world scene. But I was on oxygen. I was at, you know, under 20% lung function, and I had to get a lung transplant or I was going to die. So I received a lung transplant in 2011, which saved my life. All of these details, this part of the story of my life, of the medical issues and the overcoming of that, and the you know, the trials and tribulation of the music, this is all highlighted in our documentary that was just recently released called Mystic Vibrosis. Instead of cystic fibrosis, it's mystic vibrosis. We can put a link to that in the comments or something.
Yes, absolutely. And then also, it is available on all platforms, right? Like Netflix.
Yeah.
And
yeah, totally. It's on YouTube and Google Play and Apple TV and Amazon Prime. You can rent it or purchase it on there.
Yeah, I will make sure our listeners are able to find that. And I will say it gets my highest possible recommendation. I absolutely love that documentary.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. So that kind of highlights this stage of our lives, which in itself is, it's a pretty miraculous story. You know, what we have gone through as people, but it's really just the beginning. And so we're ready for documentary part two. Until that comes out, we're going to have this podcast to kind of say what's going on here.
All right.
So I'm now currently 12 years out from my lung transplant. When I received my lung transplant, the doctors told me, he said, yeah, on average people can live 10 years post lung transplant. So being 12 years out, it's not the most promising statistics and data there, you know?
Right. But are your doctors looking at you and noticing that you're very healthy and then outside of that bell curve?
They have no idea what's going on in my life right now. And neither do you. And that's why we're having this conversation. So to give people a little window into this podcast, me and you haven't talked for a while, Jake. And we talked today. You're like, I want to hear what happened. I said, brother, I want to tell you, but I think it's going to be best for you to hear it for the first time on the podcast because it's going to blow your mind.
Yes, let's do this.
So it's been about 2 years now that my health has been on the decline. I was hovering around 90% lung function for most of the time. Post my transplant. And then it was about, let's say roughly 2 years ago that my numbers went down. I was at like 80 something, you know, 81. The doctor said, okay, well, this is normal. This is what happens when you're this far out from a lung transplant. Then I went and did another, pulmonary function test. My numbers were down to 72%. And so I flew up to Seattle to have a bronchoscopy. They wanted to take a biopsy of my lungs to see if I had rejection. They did that. They did not find rejection. Okay. So, you know, they're looking at these numbers and they say, this is a declining trend here. So we need to stay on top of this. So the day before I go to Africa, I get a text on my phone. It says, you have a doctor's appointment. And I never scheduled the appointment. So I was kind of confused, but I figured, well, I'm going to be over there anyway. So I'm going to go do the appointment. So I go to the appointment. They go, hey, Evan, we're going to do a pulmonary function test today. My lungs have gone down to 61%. So as you can imagine, I'm not stoked about this. I don't, you know, I feel the weight of my past coming back.
Jesus.
And I'm scared.
I bet.
You know, I'm already going to Africa and it's already crazy to go to Africa because first off, you have to get a yellow fever vaccination to go to Africa. And I can't get a yellow fever vaccination because of the medication I'm on. So I could just get a letter of exemption. So if I get a yellow fever, I could die.
Holy
okay.
Shit. Okay.
And then the doctors are saying, dude, you're immunosuppressed. If you go to Africa, you cannot get malaria, bro. It's the last thing you want because you can die. So I'm in Africa. When I'm there, three people that I'm with get malaria.
Jesus Christ.
There's only six of us there, six Westerners. Three of us get malaria. I didn't get malaria. So, you know what I mean? Right off the bat, I'm already going to Africa and I'm like, dude, this is like, I'm flying on a wing and a prayer here, but I feel this calling in my soul that I have to go. And so now I'm finding out my lung percentage numbers are plummeting and I'm freaked out. But in my mind, I'm like, well, if I'm going to die anyways, man, I got to go. I got to see what this is all about. Cause my brother has gone. My brother's a trained Masoko Bwiti Aboga provider. And he has gone and there, he's gone there to the village He spent 2 months there, and it absolutely changed his life. I've seen the transformation that he has undergone, and so I just have to do this. So my lung numbers are now down at 61%. I don't even tell my wife, because she's already freaking out. She's already so scared. I don't want her to be more nervous and more scared. I'm like, I'm going to go to Africa and figure this out, okay? So I get to Africa. We drive for 4 hours down this crazy bumpy road through Libreville out into the jungle. I'm 100 miles away from the equator. This is the birthplace of man we're talking about. Africa, the heart of Africa in the Congo. Crazy thick jungle. Stupid hot. The hottest you can imagine. Just like 100% humidity. I am dying. So I get to the village. Magenda's there to greet me. His two kids are there and some of the people from the village. They show me my room. I go to my room. They go, okay, there you go. And they walk away. And so I'm just there in a room that whole day. Nothing to do. No real information or guidance. And then I sit there for probably 3 days with I don't do anything. There's nothing going on. When I go to try to talk to Magenda, he doesn't really talk to me. He gives me very short answers and kind of acts like he doesn't want to talk. And so I'm going crazy. I'm going stir crazy. I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? There's like a bunch of guys just sitting around in a yard. These guys aren't even doing anything. I made a terrible decision. I mean, I guess I can't go home now. So I'm just going to wait it out. I'll just sit here for a month, I guess, if that's what I'm going to do. So at the point that I give up and I finally say, okay, screw it. I'm just sitting here. Magenda comes and says, hey, Evan, let's have a talk. And so I go to talk to Magenda and I tell him about my problems. He says, why are you here? I say, my health is failing. I have these problems with my relationship. I have these problems with my life and my business and my creativity and all these things that I'm here to figure out. He said, okay, tomorrow night is going to be your first ceremony and we'll start figuring this stuff out, man. Don't worry about it. So it's ceremony night. And so what they do at the beginning of the ceremony, it starts at sundown and they start playing music. And so the Bwiti have over 1,000 different songs. I mean, they have thousands of songs. And so, and they're playing songs that are specific to what the Aboga spirit is telling Magenda, who is then telling them. And so these songs have a very specific purpose, is they're summoning the spirits and telling the spirits exactly how to help the people that need healing. And so they sing songs for, let's say, an hour, hour and a half, and then it's the fire talk. And so I've done a few fire talks myself, having sat in ceremony with my brother. And so what a fire talk is it is a kind of a motivational talk where they're talking about the medicine, they're talking about the Bwiti tradition, and they're talking about things to be aware of and how to have a good healing. But this fire talk is very different than I've ever had. The first thing Magenda says is, Evan, how many medications are you on? Like, what? Like, how many medications are you on? I was like, I'm on like 7 different medications for my lung transplant, and I'm on 2 different medications for my cystic fibrosis. And it's weird because he's like talking to me. There's a bunch of people. He's just focused on me, right? And then he says, what did the medicine tell you the day after you first ate it? Like, what? These questions are catching me off guard. And I'm like, after I first ate the medicine, it was telling me, it was like boosting me up and telling me I was a king and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay. I was trying to remember stuff that it told me thousands of things the day after I first ate it. It was talking to me all day. And then he said, he was quiet for a few moments and he said,
hey, wait, I just want to stop you there, Zest. I just want to make the distinction that you're talking about the Iboga medicine, the first thing the Iboga medicine said to you.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, it's a little confusing because the medication that I take, I call it medication. It's my pharmaceutical drugs. The plant medicine is like we call it the medicine.
Absolutely, so, yes.
Thanks for clarifying that. And then he's quiet for a few moments and he says, Evan, do you think the doctors are lying to you? I said, well, what do you mean? He said, why are they telling you to take these medications? And I'm like, I don't think they're lying to me. I think they're telling me to take the medications based on what science has proven that will keep me from dying. And so he's like, okay, well, anyways, so, hey guys, we're going to eat medicine. And so we start eating medicine. It was a very strange fire talk. It was all focused on me. It was only maybe 15 minutes long. And so now's the time when we start eating the medicine, eating the Aboga medicine. I can only eat one scoop. After one scoop, I puke. And so I'm very queasy, so I can't eat anymore. One scoop of medicine is not really enough. I've, you know, in the past I've done like three or four or five. And so I'm not even high. I'm like, well, I'm not going to get any insights tonight because I'm not high enough to talk to the Iboga spirit. And so Magenda says, all right, everyone, we're going to lay down tonight. Evan, I want you to focus on asking the medicine, what is the next step with your health? And so I'm laying down and in my mind, I'm like, well, I'm not high, so this isn't going to work. But the medicine, the Iboga, instantly starts talking to me. This is a strong spirit. It can talk to you if it wants to talk to you. And I hear it whispering. And this is what it says. It says, stop taking your medication. And so that doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Come on now. What? That must be my mind messing with me.
Yes, because there's a lot at stake if you didn't take those medications.
Sure. And so my mind, you know, I'm convinced my mind's messing with me. But it's different. The feeling that you start getting once you start building your relationship with this spirit is that it's not just talking to you. It's not just hearing something or seeing something. It's a feeling. You get a feeling, a download, and a download of information. And so I'm sitting there, I'm getting that download, but my mind doesn't want to believe it. And so Magenda comes over and he says, hey, Evan, any insights? And I go, nope, nothing yet. And I sit there for 15, 20 more minutes. And then I wave him down and say, hey, Magenda. And he comes over, he crouches over and I say, hey, so this is going to sound weird, but I think that the Iboga spirit is telling me to stop taking my medication. And he says, I completely agree. We're going to figure out how to do it. We're going to find a plan and we'll get it done. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm freaking out. I don't understand what's going on. I say, Magenda, did you already know this? Why? Because he responded so quick. He didn't even think about it. He just said, I completely agree. I said, Magenda, do you already know this? He said, yeah. The medicine already told me. That's why he was asking those questions in the beginning. He wasn't asking questions from his own mind. He was asking the questions that the Iboga was communicating to him to ask me so he could get a better understanding of what was going on. And so when the medicine told him, ask Evan if what the Iboga told him the day after he first took the medicine. So here's the little a little rewind.
Right.
When I first took the medicine, this is in 2021, I had an incredible journey. The medicine showed me everything, gave me all my big gifts. And the day after, I didn't sleep that whole night. And the day after, the medicine was still talking to me all day. It's telling me all sorts of amazing stuff. And what it's something it said to me is it said, hey, Evan, guess what? Last night, we gave you a lung transplant from the moon. Your lungs are totally healed. You don't even have to take your medication anymore. Don't stop taking it yet, because your families will be worried, but it's not going to hurt you. And so at the time, I believed this. I was high, real high. And then that day, my chest was all itchy, like the itchiest it's ever been, just red. And I was asking the medicine. I was like, what's going on with my chest? I said, that's the healing. And so integrating back into my real life after that experience, I didn't believe that was true. And what I had convinced myself was that I made that up, that all that second day, my mind was just going crazy and I made up a bunch of stuff. Because there's no way someone could get a lung transplant from the moon. Makes zero sense. Right. And so
I don't even know what to say. It's so powerful because in that state and the things that we talk about on the show, the guests I've had, I just know that anything is possible, especially in all of these realms. So my God, I mean, it seems wild, but we know where it's coming from.
Well, you know, I didn't have the same faith in it that you seem to have now. So what I did was I just cast that idea. I completely forgot about it. And so now I'm in Africa and the medicine's telling me again. And not only is the medicine telling me again, but Magenda is confirming it. He's saying, yes, exactly. He already knew it.
Right.
Right. And so I'm like, Magenda, how does this make any sense? This medicine can give people organ transplants. He goes, yeah, we do it all the time. I'm like, this is normal to you? He's like, absolutely. This is what we do. I said, you're telling me that everybody here at this place knows that this is real. He's like, that's right. I was like, so this is just another day for you. He's like, that's it. Just another day. So what I learned is they're healing people there. They're healing people. They're giving people new organs, people that need heart transplants. They were curing people of herpes and AIDS and brain cancer and degenerative brain disorders and Parkinson's.
Jeez.
And they're doing it on the regular, and it's instantaneous overnight healings.
It seems to be some sort of spiritual matter transference where that entity is able to remap that matter into a healed state.
Yeah. You know, I think that what we can understand as humans, it's like, it's really hard for us to understand something like this to where it's kind of like we file it in the category of magic. I think the truth is that this is science. This is the unseen science of spirituality that is ancient. It's the ancient technology. And this is how people really get healed. And so I'm talking to Magenda, and my mind's just absolutely blown. And so I figured all this stuff out was within the first 30 minutes of the night. And I'm have to lay here on this mat all night long. You don't sleep because you're high on the medicine. I'm just high enough to where I'm not going to sleep. I'm laying there and I'm just jumping out of my skin, so effing excited and stoked and freaking out and like, oh my God, what the hell's going on? Right. And so I lay there. It's morning time. The sun comes up and it's time for me to go back to my room. I go back to my room and I call my brother. So just for people that don't know, my brother was the one who guided me on my first Iboga retreat. That's the one where the medicine gave me the transplant. And so I tell my brother, I was like, dude, you're not going to believe this. The medicine is telling me again to stop taking my medication. And it's telling me that it gave me a transplant and that now is the time. And he's like, well, I already knew that. I'm like, you already knew that? Why didn't you tell me?
You could.
He's like, well, you can't just tell somebody. You got to let them come to their own. I was like, how did you know? He said, the medicine told me the first time I gave you the medicine. So what I'm learning here is that the providers are literally in direct communication with the medicine. The medicine's telling them everything it's telling you. And so my mind is getting just absolutely blown. My mind is blown. I was like, my brother knew about this the whole time? You do this for a freaking year and a half and you haven't told me, man? What the hell? He's like, bro, I just knew that you had to go and you had to hear it from someone else because the medicine told me that, you know, you had to hear it from someone else than your brother. And so now I got Magenda telling me, I have the medicine telling me twice. I have my brother confirming it for me. And so I'm turning this skepticism into belief for myself.
Yes, of course. I mean, the evidence is all over the place.
It's like, you got to be at a certain point, you just have to be stupid to not accept it, right?
Right, exactly.
It's like, are you really that stupid, Evan? It's like, no, I'm not stupid. No. I have faith. I have belief. But then, you know, I'll continue the story and you'll see how my belief, like, I don't even mess around with belief anymore, man. I only mess around with what I know. And my belief now is turning into knowing. Because all of the evidence that's falling into place. And so what the medicine told me is like, the reason your health has been failing the last 2 years is because we gave you this blessing. Your lungs are totally healed and you're still taking these pharmaceuticals and they're killing you.
Oh my God.
Dude, yeah. The wow. Pharmaceutical drugs.
Yes, I know. You. I mean, I visually witnessed me and you hanging out one time. I saw your pill regimen, and while
it's insane,
I love you and I want you to survive every single day, it was rather intense.
It's insane.
Yes, it's insane.
So I'm taking prednisone every day, which is so hard and, like, you know, messes up your bones and your skin. And I had skin cancer in my back removed, and I had my gallbladder removed, and I had all these things. I'm like, in my mind, I was literally like, well. Because it literally started right when I did Iboga and I couldn't pinpoint it. I didn't want to accept the fact that I started to get this feeling like maybe Iboga isn't good for me. Maybe Iboga is hurting me. But it was interesting because at the same time, I had all these health issues that started, but also it healed all my cavities in my teeth. It healed my bone density. It healed my shoulder injury that I had for 2 years. It did all these things for my body. So I was a little bit confused, but now going to Africa, talking to the medicine in the jungle, you know, with the 10th generation shaman there, I'm starting to understand, starting to believe.
Yeah.
So now, being home, I've been home now for a month. 1 week ago, I went and I did my first pulmonary function test. And my lung function numbers have gone up 8%.
So you stopped taking the medication.
I've now tapered down. I'm less than half of my full dose.
What would happen if you just went cold turkey completely?
I was advised to slowly decrease the medicine by Magenda, because he says he's someone who he does this all the time. And so he says, you don't need this medicine, but you've been taking it for 12 years. If you just stop cold turkey, a lot of things can happen. Your body can freak out and your mind can freak out. And so you want to take it slowly. You want to taper down while simultaneously microdosing iboga. So that's what I've been doing. Microdosing iboga, decreasing my medication. I feel the best I've ever felt in my life. I've already put on 5 pounds since I've been home. For me, gaining weight is very hard. I mean, I'm very thin. I weigh the most I've ever weighed in my life. I'm the strongest I've ever been in my life. My lungs have already gone up 8%, which is in like a month, because I measured it right before I went to Africa and right after.
Wow.
And to give you some perspective, like literally in Africa during the ceremonies, you're in this temple and they're burning these torches like straight up black smoke and you're breathing it all night long.
Right. You would think that would be damaging to the lungs, but it's actually not.
Yeah, it didn't even phase me. And in fact, like my lungs are better. So this is how we're turning belief into knowing, right? So this is the big gift that iboga has given to me. And I asked Magenda, I said, how does this even happen? Because I got my lung transplant in 2011. I didn't meet the iboga until 2021. And Magenda says, it doesn't work like that. This spirit is outside of time, buddy. And so here's another thing. We've been in the band Indubious for 20 years. Our logo, the Leaf Man, the medicine came to me and said, this is us. We've always been with you. Indubious is literally the message of the Bwiti of iboga. And it was delivered to us before we even had knowledge of it. And then like the last thing we already talked about, like the songs, the calling, you know, all this stuff coming in. It's been peeking its head into our lives outside of time. This warm cradle of love and guidance from a deep soul place of where we're connected, of what the purpose we came here to fulfill in this life. And I know that my purpose is to be a steward of this medicine, is to bring healing onto the earth plane. That's through my music. That is through becoming a provider, which now I'm going to become a provider. I'm going to learn how to administer the medicine. I'm going to be working with my brother at his iboga retreat center, which is called Iboga Rebirth, and the producing of my festivals. So you know about the first year of our festival, of Rebirth Festival.
Yes, last year, yes.
Yeah, and the medicine showed me in a vision. You're going to do a festival. Whoosh, fancy. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do a festival. Like, all right, I've never done that before. And like, I don't know how that's going to happen. It happened. It just literally fell into place. And the sponsors fell into place. I mean, you know the story of me like kicking butt and like raking it in on the sponsors, like unbelievable.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of different really positive energy attracted to you and what you were doing. And again, the thing just manifested on its own. It took on a life of its own and it's continuing. That's right.
So that happened. The next iteration of Rebirth Festival is happening on New Year's Eve in Ashland at Rebirth New Year's Eve. And then I am in a place before I go to Africa where I don't know what's going on with Rebirth 2024, because we're trying to find a permanent home for this thing. We're trying to make it a big, beautiful outdoor festival. And this is a festival that is focusing on plant medicine, medicine music, and tribal indigenous teachings, because we want to spread this incredible healing tool to the world. That's the goal of this. And that's why iboga has trusted us with this mission. But the funny thing is that first rebirth, like I told you, like the sponsors were just jumping out of the woodwork to support us. I couldn't find one sponsor for 2024. Not one. I contacted hundreds of people. It was like, shut door, shut door, shut door, shut. So I'm like, so how do I do this? What am I even going to do? So I'm in Africa, and this is the night of my initiation. I finally get to eat enough medicine this night. So I get to eat like three or four scoops. I'm high. The medicine's chill, kicking it with me, you know? And so Magenda's guiding me. And so he flies me to the moon. Fly to the moon. And you land on the moon. I'm on the moon. You go, hello, Miss Moon. I'd like to ask you some questions today. The first question is, Miss Moon, can you please give me the blueprint for Rebirth Festival? And so the moon pulls out a big book. It's a pop-up book. And it shows the whole festival. You had the stage here. You had the vendors. And then I look down and you see the Bwiti. The little Bwiti. I'm like, dang, the Bwiti are going to be there. Yeah, like bring the Bwiti. You're going to bring the Bwiti tribe out. You're going to bring 8 men and 8 women. And Magenda's going to come out and they're going to do a full-on performance with the fire and the drums. It's going to be amazing. I'm like, wow, crazy. And so I'm like, well, where am I going to do the festival? Should I do it at the place that I'm planning? It says, no, don't do it at the place you're planning. How about you do it at the place we've already shown you 3 times? And I'm like, but you keep showing me doing it at Horning's Hideout. And that's not even a venue anymore. And the medicine's like, well, just call. And I'm like, but it's not a venue. They're only doing weddings there now. And then it's like, shows me this little sign. It's like, just call, just call, just call. Like Vegas lights, right? I'm like, all right, I'll just call. When I get home, I call. Guess what? Yeah, totally. We would love to do a festival. We haven't done one festival here since String Summit. And oh my gosh, you guys have impeccable timing. If you guys would have emailed me a week earlier, it wouldn't have been available. So this is really perfect. I'm like, well, what when's available? It says, well, we only have one weekend available. I'm like, what? It's the weekend we're already targeting.
Oh my God.
So the medicine told me where to go for the festival. And this, we're talking Horning's Hideout is one of the most epic festival properties ever.
Yes. Let's give just very briefly, people a background of this venue, because we do have listeners now in 177 countries worldwide on the West Coast of the U.S. in the state of Oregon near Portland. There's some coordinates for you. Is one of the most beautiful natural venues called Horning's Hideout. It's owned by a fantastic family, the Hornings family. I've personally gone there several times in my life for events and also just to go camp out and do some fishing. They have a beautiful pond there, and it's a very sacred, magical, special place, very much like Red Rocks Amphitheater in Colorado energetically, but this is embedded in the forest with this beautiful amphitheater, with this beautiful pond behind it. The natural energy, that earth energy, that fairy energy, all of that, it's very, very strong and powerful there.
Yeah, so fully agree. Like the idea, like I personally never would have thought that this could be a reality for me. So thank God the medicine's on my side, like pushing me, right? I never would have do something this ambitious. To give people an understanding, like last, the previous year we spent, I think maybe $2,000 or $3,000 on our concert venue. And now we're going to Horning's Hideout. They want a lot of money.
It is well known that that place does command a high daily fee for their place because it is so beautiful.
Yeah. We're talking, you know,
a lot,
far, far higher than anything. And so I'm like, okay, I got to figure out how to get money. So back to Africa, flashback to the past. We're in Africa. I'm talking to the medicine. It has the pop-up book open. And I'm like, Miss Moon, where am I going to get funding for my festival? It says, do not get sponsors. Ask friends and family. And it shows me 2 people that I know. And so I contact one of them and I ask him for a very large sum of money to help me with the festival. At first he says, yeah, I can help. I'd be happy to help. And then it kind of turns into more of like a, well, kind of right now, not really. But by the time I'm done with him, I've literally spent probably the culmination of a whole hour talking to him, pleading my case, talking about the festival, talking about how important it is, you know. And so really what I've done is I've like developed this confidence in my proposal. And so by the time I'm done, I'm like, well, let's go. Let's talk to the other guy. And I call the other guy. And this is someone who's incredibly wealthy, someone I haven't talked to in years. And I give him the full download. I tell him about my healing. I tell him about the moon giving me new lungs. I tell him about all the things the medicine has guided me to that have become true. And I told him the medicine has guided me to you, to ask you for money to help with this event. I believe this is something that your involvement with could be a truly incredible, lasting legacy to bring healing and, you know, this medicine into thousands of people's lives. And is this something you could help me with? And he says, yes. Wow. So the medicine guided me to my property, guided me to the money for my festival. It's guiding me to the bands that are going to play at my festival.
I'm speechless, Zest.
I know.
I'm speechless. Normally, I'm the guy talking at rapid fire pace. I'm telling you, this is a lot to process. I'm glad you saved telling me this. I know we had a phone conversation this morning. I'm so glad you saved this for this interview, this conversation, because I'm in a state of just utter awe, gratitude, thankfulness, and just blown away. I'm just so grateful that the right person is doing this event at this place in this way. It's just, it's
not even me, and it's
the right energy, the people.
There are spirits that are much larger than us. It's not a hierarchy, but it's like they have the ability and the knowledge and the connection for things much greater. And so when we can humble ourselves and heal ourselves and make our vessels clear enough to become vessels for these higher works, it's like the work is already done. And so my life has become this incredible thing. So I'm in Africa. I had the biggest weight that's ever been on my shoulder taken off for free, just because some spirit loves me, because the moon loves me, because Aboga loves me. The thing that's worried me since I was a child, my health, your health is fucked up. There's something wrong with you. There was never anything wrong with me. It was a part of my story to bring me to where I am now, so I could be healed, so I could help the medicine spread this information into the world, which is why I'm here talking to you, because people need to know. People need to know that there are ways to heal things. If you are sick, or you need spiritual healing, or you have this anxiety and crushing thing, or these addictions, there are things out here. There are plant medicines that can literally take it away from you. But you have to be ready to do it. You don't put all of it on the Aboga. You don't put all of it on the moon, all on the spirits. It has to be you that's ready to make the decision. When you're actually truly ready to heal and leave the bullshit behind and stop messing with yourself and live a happy life and find your purpose and love yourself for reals, then you're ready. Wow. You can come to this medicine and it will take care of you.
What? And I do want to make a distinction, Zest, that ibogaine is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the true plant medicine Iboga, because there are people listening to this that this is very new information for them. So if they're doing research, they might get confused a little bit when they're seeing that.
Thank you. That's a very important and intelligent thing to speak about for a moment. Ibogaine is the isolated alkaloid of Iboga. Ibogaine has an ability to detox people from, you know, heroin addicts, and also they use it for PTSD. The main distinction is the spirit is no longer in the ibogaine. You're not getting any Iboga spirit. It's not there. It's been removed. And so, quick story: my brother Skip, his first introduction to this medicine was ibogaine, which he used to help him get clean of opiates. It worked for him for about a year and he relapsed. And so when he went back, then he did Iboga, and that's when the spirit came to see him. He got to see his future and it got to explain to him what was going on. And he got to experience it within the Bwiti framework. There's no Aboga without Bwiti. There's no Bwiti without Aboga, because the Bwiti were the first ones to learn about this medicine. They've been communicating with it for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, way farther back than what our current understanding of humanity, of the length of humanity is, way farther back than that.
Is it only native to that region, though?
Say it again.
Is it only native to that region? Where else is that plant?
It's only native to that region.
Wow. Wow.
It will grow in other parts of the world, but it's only native to that region. And so you go to Africa and you see them and all these things they do and all these intricate ceremonies and these thousands of different plants and herbs that they pick very specifically for each person. And these ceremonies where they have these incredibly intricate dances and speeches and what seem like rituals. And you go, okay, this is just a tribe of people that have these things they believe and kind of like superstitions or whatever. But when you ask Magenda, he says, absolutely not. Nothing that we do is man-made. We didn't come up with any of it. Neither did our ancestors. Everything that we do, the Aboga tells us what to do. Wow. The Aboga tells them how to make their instruments, tells them what instruments to play, tells them what instruments and what arrangements, which instruments are good with each other, for how long to play them, what words to sing during the song, the length of the song, the way you sing. It's all guided 100% by a medicine that loves you more than you can imagine what love is, divine love. This medicine has the original blueprint for men. So you eat this and your heart is open and you're ready to receive, you get a full factory reset.
Dude, full that factory is reset. So powerful. Oh my God.
The ultimate detox. I'm talking everything. Stuff that we don't think can be detoxed. You know, heavy metals and plastics, all of it gone in one night.
Oh my God.
So fresh baby reset.
There's something about that, again, that reaches beyond matter and that spirit, because it's so intertwined with source, it's able to work beyond the third dimension, work within wherever it is and change things like instantaneously, like you're saying. It's really, really powerful stuff and people need to know about this. I want to back you up a little bit and just ask you a little bit more about your experience going to the moon, like visually, when the moon itself was showing you that book, was the moon embodied in some human form, or was it literally like a light essence, or was it like the moon itself? How would you describe it?
Well, these things become interesting to describe. Okay, so first of all, not everyone sees visions on Aboga. About half people don't. So if you're listening to this, like, oh, I want to see visions and I want to hallucinate and see.
Yeah, cool, I want to go to the moon.
You might not, right? It might not happen. And so the medicine, the truth is, it doesn't matter.
Right.
The medicine communicates with people based on the best way that is for them. That's how intelligent this medicine is. Some people aren't going to respond as well to the visions as others. Some people go and they do their retreat and they see nothing. They have no insights and they're miserable and they hate it. And they go back into their life. And for the following weeks and months, the Aboga continues talking to them gently, subtly, quietly through their soul. And they get all of it, 100% of it, without ever adjourning. But that's just a little disclaimer for those of you who are like, I'm going to go do an Aboga and I'm going to expect to see this. Like, don't expect anything than exactly what you need.
Right.
You know, leave your expectations at the door. But for those of us who see things in the realm, my first time taking the medicine was the absolute most vivid HD, deeper colors than colors even exist. And like just hours and hours of movies of the future and the past and just incredibly hilarious cartoon-like visions of the medicine just showing me the absolute handcrafted by the mastermind of the universe, funniest thing to make me laugh, the deepest belly laugh. Like, you can't even explain the intelligence of this medicine. And then the progressive times I've eaten it, my visions have actually gotten less and less. And to where now my visions aren't so much visual. And so it's hard to explain it. It's like you're not seeing it, but you're knowing it through your third eye. So it's not through your eyes. It's through your third eye. So it's this kind of watery daydream almost. But what the medicine, what its goal for you is not to make you dependent on the medicine. It's like, oh, I have all the answers. You can just eat the medicine anytime you want to have answers. That's only in the beginning. And that's the trick, because it's trying to trick you outside of your own lack of trust for yourself. Because when someone else, this wise, powerful, all-knowing entity outside of you is telling you something, you're going to believe it. But if it's coming from yourself, you're going to continue to doubt yourself like you have in the past. So it gives you this facade of the medicine's telling you. But the truth is, the medicine is simply linking you up with your soul. And you're getting it directly from your soul. So the medicine is the bridge from you to your soul. And so the question is, like, how are we not our soul already? Well, we start to distance ourselves from our soul over life because we stop listening to our intuition when we're very young. You know, traumas happen and we stopped trusting ourselves. And so the your soul's there talking to you, you know, and it talks to you very softly. It's a gentle, soft, almost whisper. But our mind gets really loud and rambles and talks and blah, blah, blah. And you can't hear it over your mind. And especially in the West, we are a cerebral society where we believe we are the mind. And so we've lost this contact with our soul. And so what happens over the years of you not listening to your soul, it just stops even talking to you. It stops even trying because you don't listen. And so when you're doing these journeys on the Iboga medicine, the way that the Bwiti do it is they guide you to go meet your soul, to meet your soul. Really, you see your soul face to face. And if something's not right there, you get to make amends and become friends, hug it out, and unite. And so you bring... you and your soul become one until you are your soul. And you are your soul when you trust yourself. You know, all these people are like, I feel like maybe I'm clairvoyant a little bit or psychic. It's like, yeah, we all are. That's what it's called being a human. You're connected in. You got intuition. It's just the only reason that some people don't have is because they don't listen to it. They don't trust themselves. Their minds have talked over it for years and years and years. So this thing that I'm seeing, you know, these visions I'm seeing, it's really just like my soul's guidance. And so your soul and the medicine are one. And so what I'm seeing when I'm seeing the moon is like, I see it multiple ways. When I fly to the moon, it's like, you're like fucking flying, man. And you fly to the moon and you chill and you're on the moon. You see the moon, you look up and you see the earth is back there. You're out in space, you know? But when I'm asking the moon, I fly to the moon and I start asking the moon questions. The moon comes out like a little cartoon, a little round cartoon. And she pulls out a book. And the moon is a woman. The moon is actually a black woman. And that's a thing. Okay. And so she's, you know, she's in the moon form. She's pulling the books and showing me stuff. It's all kind of cutesy, you know. It's like the divine intelligence has got a great sense of humor. And it's silly and cheeky.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And just like us.
The mental pictures I'm trying to, it's so powerful. This is such an amazing conversation. So then are you ready to take on that role of facilitator now? Because you're saying like you're taking the Iboga, it's having a different effect because you've already had so many experiences and now the role is shifting. It's a big role to be a facilitator, to be that shaman for these people. How do you feel about that?
Well, you're not a shaman if you're a facilitator. Shaman takes many, many years. There's only one shaman, and that's Magenda. But you can become a shaman. That's five different initiations.
But isn't a facilitator like a shamanic role in a sense. I mean, you are the bridge.
I mean, you could say between... that it's kind of like a shamanic job. You know, it's like you're in the shamanic realms, but you are not you're not a full shaman. Yes, it is it's a tremendous responsibility. A lot of people go to Magenda's village and train to become providers and then go back to their lives and do nothing with it or do something with it, but it's a slow build, or they get like an apprenticeship, or they don't take it that seriously. But the role model that I have is my brother, and watching the way that my brother, the seriousness that he takes this role, is something that's hard to even express. Like the level of self-restraint and just like the intricacies of every little detail. Like I have gone now and I'm helping him assist in his ceremonies, and it's incredibly strict environment. You have to do everything perfect, and the medicine's watching you. The medicine's there and it's guiding you. And so when you take this seriously, it becomes it's a very serious thing. And so, yes, I am 100% down. At this point in my life, I'll do whatever the medicine asks me.
For sure.
The medicine has asked me to become a provider. When something gives you gifts like this, like the gifts it has given me, the reason it's giving me these gifts is because we got work to do together.
Absolutely. Wow.
And I love this medicine.
Yeah. How could you possibly say no? Right.
You know, it's like being able to be here and talk to you and like watch this little fire crackle in your soul, you know, and the listeners, like, I know you have thousands and thousands of listeners, and there are probably people out there right now going, oh my gosh, maybe there's hope for my situation.
Right.
I've been unhappy for 20 years. I feel like I've never could ever find true love or forgive myself or, you know, overcome my addiction to, you know, whatever it is, shopping or pornography or fentanyl or all these things. It's like life without these types of tools is bleak. It's so easy to get lost. And so for me to be given the ability to be this guy, to bring us into people's lives, is an absolute blessing. And this is just the beginning of the tip of this incredible, you know, miraculous life plan. This medicine has all planned out for me. And it's like, I'm sitting in the hands of this giant God-like entity, and it's like, got me. It's like, I got you, buddy. And I, you know, and I'm like, well, what do I get? It's like, how about we're going to give you everything you've ever wanted and more. That's where I'm at.
Wow. That's so incredible.
Like, you can imagine me coming back to my life. It's like, it's just surreal. Like, I have zero anxiety because everything just works out. All of the shreds of like all these weird beliefs that I've built in my head and like strange things about myself and the world and reality and success are just completely gone. And so the Bwiti tradition is interesting because people go, well, what do they believe? They don't believe anything. They only deal with what they know. They're scientists in a way.
Okay.
If you can't prove it, it's not real. And you have to prove it with three senses. You have to use at least three of your senses to confirm that it's real. So any thoughts you have, not real. So it's like this simplicity of thinking and living has like just taken away so much garbage out of my energy. You know, another big thing that happened for me in Africa, Jake, is that my sexual energy got completely healed. And so this is some kind of vulnerable stuff to talk about, but I think it's important. I think people need to hear this. I have always considered myself for my whole life to have a lot of sexual energy.
Yes, as most creative manifestors are. Everybody knows this.
100%. And so I had convinced myself this is just how I am. And so really with just like constant sexual thoughts, thinking about having sex with women all the time, pornography, blah, 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 right? This is a big part of my life, of who, of my identity. But the Boga showed me and said, hey, buddy, guess what? You're not actually like that. that's not really you. And what we're going to do is we're going to heal it all up for you. And so you're going to get to operate now completely differently. So it's the craziest thing. Whatever that was, completely removed. Now all this energy that was leaking out of me all day long, leaking out here, leaking, it's all sealed up. I'm not leaking any of my creative energy anymore whatsoever.
Damn.
Yeah. I'm talking like 180, brother. And so in that way, very healing for my relationship, as you can imagine.
I bet.
It's like bringing all of that passion and energy to my partner. And then in another way, my relationship has been just like so revitalized and healed through what the medicine showed me about my path with my wife and my future and how to really truly treat her, what she deserves, and how I'm treating myself. And like, man, if I went to Africa, that's the only thing I got out of it. Like the sweetness that has come from me reuniting with my wife. And like, I the best way to say it is like, I feel like I'm now loving her in the way she's always deserved to be loved. And it's incredible because there's been this perception, anyone in a relationship can probably identify with this, that like, well, I love this person, but there's just these things, like if she could handle this thing, like that would be nice. Kind of like, you know, there's things you want your partner to be a little bit different. And it's like, it's weird because now that I'm loving myself on such a deep level, like I don't see that anymore. And it's almost like the way she is has shifted. Like she's different. I'm loving her different. So she's acting different. You're in these realms. So this isn't anything crazy to you, but this is far out stuff. And it's like, it's one thing to know it and understand it. It's a whole other thing to experience it. It's like the best gift, man.
You literally had a massive frequency shift. And then the people in your life, the close people, like your partner, your wife, they're having a frequency shift as well, because it's a resonant field. You're adding the best possible energy into it. And the things you're talking about, look, this is the human experience, all of the different things, and leaking sexual energy. If you'll notice in our society, that's all everything is geared toward, is extracting that energy from you to keep you. And that, when I say you as a human, just working and functioning as a tax battery,
that's your power.
That's exactly not creating in the imaginal realm and then bring that in the third dimension. That's your creative energy. That's your sexual energy. And when we cultivate that and we, like you said, bring that back into its form, that's when the magic happens. Like your Hornings Hideout experience, like you're now manifesting more because of that.
That's right. Yes. Powerful stuff on the music front. I got a lot of blessings too. I mean, obviously, my creative energy is no longer being wasted. It's building inside of me the power. I've been working on my solo project, Zest, extensively. I'm working on a new album. I'm really excited to share some stuff with you, Jake.
Yes, I'm super pumped to see it. I'm sorry I was unable this summer in September to witness your performance at the Cascade Equinox Festival.
Oh, it's all good.
But I wanted to be there. I was there in spirit.
Yeah, man.
So, my God, Zest, this is incredible. Tell me a little bit more about this Hornings Hideout event. So is this like the first announcement of this? I know you've put feelers out for people, but now you have a solid date, a solid venue. What's going to happen at this festival?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't call this really so much an official announcement as it is.
Unofficial.
If you find this podcast and you're listening to it, you're going to know. It's not really a secret. I would tell anyone on the streets. It's like, I'm not posting online all about it yet. That's all. I mean, Rebirth Festival is, it's a spiritual summit for the new earth, and it's going to be, a very unique first event of its kind in the world. This is going to be the first time the Bwiti have come to the United States to perform. Magenda is going to be there to talk. So it's going to be a combination of musical acts, of medicine music acts, which really medicine music is an interesting genre because it's outside of genre. It's not so much the musical style as it is the quality of intention in the music to be healing music. So it's really, it's a healing festival. And this is a place for people to come and experience their own rebirth. It's Rebirth Festival.
Of course, and Dubious is going to be there, and you're going to book some other acts as well, in addition to the Wheatie being there.
Of course.
Oh my gosh. And I know you're going to need an official Bondcast.
Jake, I would love to have you as an official podcast.
Oh my God. No way, dude. Yeah. Everyone in the world is so excited. I can't believe it. You all have to be there. Oh my God. Thank you, Zess. This is going to be a magical event. You know, I talk about these new earth frequencies quite a bit.
You're a specialist, man.
Thank you. I like to just help people understand things. I just focus on it, talk about it, get to the heart of the matter, heal people as you're doing. So tell me more. I know you don't have too much time. We've had an incredible conversation, but I do want you to tell us a little bit more about finding Iboga. If you're called to this, like if you're listening to this and a person's listening and they feel called to Iboga, where are some of the places they could look to find the true Iboga, not Ibogaine, but the true experience?
Yeah. So if you're interested in just simply learning some more, our podcast would be a great place to start. It's called the Living and Dubiously Podcast. You know, you just search that in Google and it'll pop up. It's basically everywhere podcasts are listened to. So that's a good place if you want to learn more. If you're interested in finding a place to do your own Iboga retreat, if you're feeling called by the medicine and are looking for some healing, there's something in your life that you're ready to set down. If there's something in your life you're fed up with and you want to move past it, and you don't know how, and you want help, this medicine wants to help you. And the retreat that my brother has been now running for 2 years is called Iboga Rebirth. And you can find that at www.ibogarebirth.com. That's IBOGARERBIRTH.com. You can go there, you can fill out the contact form, and you can have a talk with him to where he can give you some more information on that. And that's a great place to start.
I would say so.
I always knew my brother was good at what he did. It was obvious because he's so passionate about it and seeing the changes in him. But when I went to Africa and I got to sit with Magenda for the first time, Magenda would not stop talking about how fantastic my brother is. He was just raving about him, saying he's one of his best providers in the world. Like, literally, I'm telling you, my brother, this is the words of Magenda. He's one of the best Iboga providers in the world. And I personally think he is the best Iboga provider in the world because how serious he takes this. He is dedicated to getting people the best possible healings and gives everything of his ability to create that reality. So I could not speak more highly of the Iboga Rebirth Retreat. And I am now a part of it. And I'm helping, assisting in the retreats, which is something that I've been waiting a long time to do. And I'm super honored to be involved. So,
wow. And that's like from this point forward, like you're a part of it.
I'm a part of it. I mean, obviously I have a lot of stuff I'm doing. Obviously the retreat center and the festival share the same name, which is Rebirth, Iboga Rebirth and Rebirth Festival. These are different, I guess you can say different wings of the same bird, right? Because the festival is about spreading this information and making it known to people. I mean, we're living in the time of the psychedelic revolution, as they say, and this medicine is relatively unheard of. And so the reason this is happening is because the Iboga has basically just said, hey, it's time. We need to get the word out. And the fact that it's picked us to do this is just nothing short of like the most incredible honor I could imagine.
I would have to agree. I'm so thankful to Iboga. I just want to send love and gratitude to Iboga right now, the plant spirit. these guys are amazing. You already know, but I still want to say thank you. I mean, I think that's okay, right?
No, yeah, absolutely. Aboga welcomes your thanks and also doesn't need them.
Very well. Okay, so man, whoa. What a conversation, my brother. I'm so glad you've been here and we've had this conversation. Yeah. This has been eye-opening, mind-blowing, and again, a bridge to people that are listening to this. This is your bridge. You're hearing this.
That's
You're
right. And so, you know, this is the reason we're having this conversation is because the Aboga told me to tell people about my healing. And it healed me so I can tell the world to bring people to Aboga so we can heal as many people as possible, so we can have as many people on the earth living the best life they possibly can, which is going to change the world.
Yes. And thank God for that.
Yeah.
You're doing a fantastic job, by the way.
Thank you, brother.
So I want to tell people where to find you. Of course, as Zest was saying, if you're called to do this, the plant spirit is calling you, Aboga, I-B-O-G-A, rebirth.com, ebogarebirth.com. Fill out the questionnaire form.
Yep.
Let's see what happens.
And let him know that Zest sent you, so he knows where it's coming from. That'd be helpful too.
Yes, please put Zest is best in the comment box. And there are events coming up with the band Indubious, because I'm an Indubi and I love Indubious's music so much. It's so beautiful and it's high frequency. Every song's a download in itself. They're playing New Year's Eve at the Ashland Armory in Ashland, Oregon.
That's correct.
Warm up. It's our New Year's Eve rebirth as you move into the Hornings High Doubt Rebirth Festival in 2024, summer of 2024.
That's right.
Wow. So definitely check that out. The podcast, Living Indubiously, of course, you can find that on any platform. Indubiousmusic.com is where you can find out about the festival that's coming up, and just keep an eye out for all of that. And again,
that is right.
Zest, thank you so much for honoring us with this information, bringing this information on this podcast. It was so spontaneous and amazing, and I'm so thankful you did that. Is there anything else you want to leave our people with before we go?
Well, I love you, brother.
And love
just
you
again,
too.
I'm just grateful for the work that you're doing, man. And it's always good to hear your voice and share, you know, my mystical tidbits that you're just always, you know, so good at digesting and feeling the excitement, man. I just love you, man. So
thank you. I love you as well.
Good energy.
And it's the best feeling in the world when you tap into those higher frequency concepts. That's why we're here. We're the bridge. This is the bridge. The bridge is happening all over the place to that new earth. That's what this is all about. So thank you again for being here, Evan. You're amazing.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, please hold through the outro music. And everyone, ebogarebirth.com. The festival is coming up next summer. New Year's Eve event, Rebirth. Check that out. And we will see you next week, midnight on Earth.